Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5. We got a lot to talk about. Ime and Imai. And, how do you like that Italian fella now, huh? How you like him now?
I never doubted him. As let the record reflect, I never doubted
him. Well, let me ask Dell, because Dell was like, he said he's any good.
And I quote, "I will sing his praises to the heavens if he has a good start."
Okay, that's what he said. Dell,
and I quote,
"Never have ever said sing praises.
Sing his praises.
Sing his praises unto the Lord."
You sounded like a youth choir. Like you sounded like a little church youth choir.
Yeah. Shut down one of the great offenses in baseball history.
Or if we want to play this game where we Dell needs to apologize, I'll just bring up his stats from his entire career. Which one do you want to do?
Bring up stats from last night. 10 strikeouts.
But I'm not apologizing for anything.
10 strikeouts. Okay. I thought his arm was going to fall off last night. Any pitcher that throws as many curveballs as he did last night, any Astro pitcher, he's out for about a year and a half.
Oh, well, I mean, we're just counting down the days.
Yes.
I saw Pendergast. He obviously got this from somebody else, I guess, unless he created it through AI. There's an Astros dry board. It's like a board that says days since last injured list. Yeah.
Right.
And it was at one, and then there's a graphic that there's like a hand that comes and erases it, and it says zero because, what's his name? Bolton, IL. They lost another pitcher to the IL yesterday.
Incredible.
Ow, my back hurts. Oh, I'm so hurt with my back.
He's gone too.
You kind of need that.
So now four. Now you got four pitchers.
I just don't. So, Spencer Arrighetti, he's one of the only guys that had a track record, and they sent him to Sugarland.
I didn't pay super close attention to the minor league stuff. I just knew that we couldn't hit, and we were great at pitching. And then
not having him on the roster to begin with.
Yeah, I think you just wanted him to pitch. You didn't want him in a bullpen. You wanted him getting starting stuff. And his three starts were fantastic at Sugarland. Really, really good. He comes up yesterday. It looked like he didn't skip a beat. Like, it was just, you know, really good hit, as you mentioned. Threw a bunch of curveballs, had a lot of movement on. I mean, obviously a curveball is going to have a lot of movement. But it wasn't just sitting flat in the zone. He was good. He had some walks in the earlier stages, but he was punching everyone out. Had, 7 strikeouts through 3 or 4, I think it was 4 innings. Ended up with 10. And he looked fantastic. I mean, Spencer Arrighetti, it's not the toughest team in the world, but I don't care. We're not the toughest team in the world. We're one of the worst teams. So for Spencer to come out and give you a good start,
It was like real baseball.
It was like watching real baseball.
It wasn't a softball game.
No.
Where you had to you start with a runner on. You got to get a beer at second base. You know, before you go to third. I mean, it was like a real baseball. We had a real baseball game last night. That was fun. That was great. And he was dealing, but man, it seemed like he threw 100 curveballs. And it was like, oh my gosh, his arm. Did you see, like, they put it in slow motion. His elbow was, his hand was below his elbow before he delivered. And then just, and the spin on it, I was like, he's not going to last long. This is terrible. we got another IL coming soon here. I hope he stays. I really do, because he looked great. Who knows, next outing, whatevs. Who can tell? We got a lot of sound from Emi, about Emi as well. So all kinds of stuff. Did you see the video of Austin Reaves shooting free throws yesterday?
Yeah, I don't care. They've already said he's not coming back.
Well,
it was LA. There's an account in LA is like, you know, internally they're saying they're just trying to get past the Rockets, and they think he'll be back at some point for the second round if they can get back. So I think it's pretty locked in that these two guys are not coming back. But yeah, they'll keep it alive. They'll keep it alive. It's a talking point. You saw him shooting free throws. I don't know if that means you can play a basketball game. I can shoot free throws today, and I promise you I cannot go out there and play against the Lakers. I just can't. I'm not ready to.
I gave you 2 months.
Yeah, but I don't have 2 months. That's the whole point. He doesn't have 2 months either.
Right, right, right.
That's my whole point.
And he could come back.
It's a two-month corollary. You know, right. He needs it to heal. I need it to strengthen my meniscus and things like that.
Right, right, right. Sure. And get in a little bit of shape to play.
Yeah. No, I got to get in basketball shape. I can't just be in disc golf shape. I got to be in basketball shape. And that's a different kind of shape.
Yeah. You got a lot of disc golf guys that are in great shape.
Sometimes I throw a disc and I'll run for the first 50 yards when I want to get a little bit of a workout in.
Right. And so I think you could play in a game.
Yeah, but I would just have to run to the disc all the way. I could still cross train.
Dell thinks you could play. Dell thinks you could score 20 maybe. You
know? He doesn't believe in me, I've noticed, really ever. He has a low bar for me. Or he sets a high bar.
You set a high bar.
Well, I don't think so. I think he 14 points.
Is this just a bit that you do where you think that these two guys are coming back in this series? Is this a
no,
bit?
No, I don't. It's not
Why
a bit.
Why do you think they're coming back?
Oh, I think you
saw
will
somebody
see.
Shoot a free
if
throw?
This goes to six games, absolutely you will see Luka or Luka.
How are they beating the historical timetable?
Well, the historical time. I mean, listen, he went to Europe, first of all.
Who?
And they're advanced there. Secondly, I think they would play him 80%, 85%. I do. I think they would. I think they would put him out there. Yeah, take
Luka, not Austin Reaves.
85% Luka defensively is the same as 100% Luka defensively. It's not a difference.
Yeah, but I don't think offensively. This is a hamstring. This is a lower body thing, and he's got to be able to move. He's not an athletic player per se, so. You know, creating space is already, it's done through body, you know, it's done through technical stuff that he does. I don't know that you subtract any level of athletic movement from him and that he, like, that's just going to be awfully tough for him to come, because he clearly can't be at 100%. The timetable just tells you it's impossible. The timetable for this thing is really more of a month plus. So I don't know, like, I think it's a talking point to make this more interesting, this series. And you know what? Just smash their brains in with a shovel, and we're done.
Wow.
And move on to the second round. Smash the Lakers' brains in with a shovel, and we're not having these conversations anymore. I don't have to listen to the magic of the Lakers' training staff and how, you know, if Europe is this good, then why don't we have European stuff then? Then why aren't we not?
Because we have...
We have what?
We have rules and
we
restrictions.
Have grifters.
They can do whatever
want
there.
We have people who have their hands out who are grifters everywhere. Everywhere I turn, grifters and people who steal money.
Because unless Big Pharma can make huge money off it, we ain't doing it. That's what it's about.
Then if you're Big Pharma, you can.
You know what? There would be no cancer in this country if it wasn't for Big Pharma.
Oh, is that what? Is that,
yeah,
what's, is that what's out
right
there? We can't... It's not just a disease that ravages the body?
No, it's just an easy,
we got a pill. I wish my mom would have known.
It's over.
Oh, wow.
But we ain't
didn't
ended
know.
It because there's
great.
Too much money involved.
Would have been nice if my mom had a pill she could have taken.
That's right. And mine, too. And mine, too.
I mean, I don't want to, I'm not even going to go down this road. I tell you what, I'll bet you $100 we don't see either one of those guys. And I bet their brains get beaten in like a shovel smashed against
the shovel
the skull.
Beating the brains
yeah,
in?
I want, it's not, it's figurative. It's figurative.
Not really.
But I want them to be absolutely slaughtered. I want Laker fans to shut up for life. That's
well,
what I want.
I think all they're going to say is
beat
we didn't
LeBron
have Luka
into,
and Austin Reeves.
Beat LeBron into, beat him into retirement.
All they'll say is, well, yeah, you beat us without our
care.
Best two
go
players.
Go watch us. You know what? Go watch us. Just go
if they
watch
do
your
win,
video.
God forbid.
Well, then Ime should be the first one out the door. If you lose to this team, Ime should be the first one out the door.
So
and we shouldn't even wait until he gets back.
Okay, so we got
at
some
the
sound.
Tarmac. Gone.
You want a Lane Kiffin him.
Gone. At the
you
tarmac.
Want Lane
if you
Kiffin.
Lose to this team with your team at the tarmac, gone. That's what we need to do. And that I'm an avowed Ime Udoka fan. But if you lose to this team with the team that you had, and we had to hear all this Kevin Durant crap forever, how he's the magical bullet in everyone's chamber, gone. I don't want to hear it anymore. Everyone beat it.
Well,
everyone. Except I don't want Rafael Stone to beat it yet.
I don't. Listen. Yeah, I don't know. There's been a lot of people calling for Ime. It's been weird this year.
Not weird,
but it's been something that we hadn't heard.
It's been
in the last
sobering.
But Kevin Durant, tell you got that, Kevin Durant on Ime. So, yeah, if he does lose this series, I think there is a reason to all of a sudden. I would think that the organization is going to look and say, is he the right guy? Because Joe Mazzulla has done a hell of a job with Boston since taking over there, hasn't he? And you know what? They're better. They're just better. Whether or not Ime is the right guy, don't ask Kevin Durant, because Kevin Durant will have this to say about his head coach.
Now spent a full season with Ime as your head coach. What's impressed you most about him, and why are you confident he's the guy to lead you into battle?
Just his attention to detail, how he loves the game. You know, he studies the game, watches the game, understands it on a different level. And, you know, so a guy that's been through battles as a coach and as a player is always good to have that perspective.
Does he bring you, like, schematic advantages, and how has he done that this year?
Definitely, I mean, knowing how to, you know, speak to the team, know how to write X's and O's, out-of-timeout plays, draw up a good system for offense and defense, create a good culture in the locker room. I think he's done all those things pretty well.
All right. So there goes your little theory about firing him.
No, right. Kevin Durant's not the bosser, but he didn't have James.
Oh,
James Juice.
He's not. Okay.
No, he didn't. That's he's saying that right now. What is he tweeting? What? You believe what he says with his mouth instead of with his fingers? Give me a break. I'm not listening to this. Until I see what one of his burner accounts thinks of Ime, I'm not listening to it.
So unless you see it on a burner account?
Unless I see his burner going, y'all stupid. Ime, what do you bum ass couch riders know about coaching? Like, I'm like, that's how KD talks. This is his burner. This is his burner. No, I mean, in all seriousness, Kevin Durant could say whatever to a microphone. It doesn't mean that's what he thinks.
There is some truth to that. It doesn't matter. Yeah, it's what he really feels.
I mean, what he really feels is on a text string somewhere. It's not in front of a microphone, really. Or it's when he's on the court yelling at somebody in the stands. That's when I know KD, that's how KD feels. If somebody says, Ime's got to go, and he goes, look at your soft ass up there in the third row. Fat ass, soft ass, sorry ass. And they're like, okay, so KD is down with. Although KD also just doesn't want you to have any opinion at all from the stands. You're actually not even supposed to ever talk.
No.
You either cheer or you shut up and that's it.
Unless you're a top five scorer ever in the league, he doesn't want to hear from you.
He doesn't even
want to hear from NBA other NBA players.
Yeah, he really doesn't. Top five scorers even get a talk? Does he? Are you sure?
Well,
he wants...
Michael gets. Well, he passed Michael, so he's a top six scorer.
He ain't
got to listen to Mike anymore.
You mean him? Only him talking? Yeah, because I have never even heard him say that anyone was allowed to have an opinion. I think if you play basketball, you're allowed to have an opinion.
Yeah, I would think if you're. Like
but if you're a fan, you're not allowed to have an opinion. You're not allowed to voice an opinion.
That interview he did with Dream, he was very deferential.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think he is deferential to people he respects. Yeah. It's not anyone in the crowd.
Not anyone. No, no.
Not anyone that's going to walk through the doors of that building to have a ticket scanned.
No.
He didn't respect any of you.
Nope, nope.
On
nope.
God, I promise that.
We got to
shut your mouth and cheer and buy the overpriced food and just be quiet. And if they lose, oh well, too bad. It's still, you're just here for, you're just here. Lose. You're just here to be enjoyed. You know,
shut up, you stupid ass.
Yeah.
Shut up, you dummy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all. That's all.
That's what he tells people.
That's what
just
he tells
like
you.
Do.
Just says it
just
in a different
like
way. It's the same message.
Your burner account tells
the same messaging. My burner account is my own
it's
self.
Your mouth.
It's on this show. My burner account is
this
show.
Is your burner.
Have you ever told anyone?
The NFL won't let you do that.
No, I don't do that on Twitter as much.
Twitter.
Although I do.
Oh, yes, you do.
Well,
yes.
I get in fights. I don't say, you stupid dummy, shut up, you dumb
you
ass.
You
I don't
do that.
That
here. You get that's in fights on Twitter
you kind of do.
Bring that here.
Yeah. Yeah. My Twitter, I'm not as aggressive on Twitter as I am.
No. All right.
Because there is someone always, oh, no, this person follows me. Like, the worst thing would be if it said, new followers, Roger Goodell.
No.
And there's a little secret you can do. You blocking and unblocking. It makes them unfollow you.
We got a new tradition with the Astros. We'll talk about that on the other side. Right here on ESPN 97.5. But right now we're talking about GiveMeTheVin.com. That's my guy, John Clay Wolf. He's awesome. Love John Clay Wolf. Love what John Clay Wolf does for the city of Houston, what he's been doing for the city of Houston for I don't know how many years now. But he started here and in Dallas, and he just said, I'm just going to buy cars and see, and then I'll take them up. I think Ohio they take them up to for auction. They clean them up, and they bring them up there, and they see what they can get for them. And he's created a $1 billion business that way. $1 billion, okay? And he's in every city now on the radio, every major city in the country on the radio, doing his radio show, which he'll do Saturday morning right here on ESPN 97.5. He's just incredible. Incredible what a story he is. A guy who was fighting for his life after a motorcycle accident, fighting to be able to walk. And here he is with just one of the great, he's the greatest car buyer in the country. So if you're looking for a great way to make money on your vehicle, there's one place that you have to go. Great story. That's all fine and good. Give me the most for my car. And that's what he does every single day at GiveMeTheVin.com. One place you have to go, GiveMeTheVin.com.
ESPN 97.5. It's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hey, welcome back. I want to talk, we got Spencer, we're going to talk a little Joe Espada, but I want to talk a little golf first. First of all, we got our occasional invitational. It's going to be at Sterling, and it's a great course. We got all the Coors Lights. We got lunch and dinner, Valencia's. We got, was it Brown Bag that's going to do the, Brown Bag is going to do the
Brown
lunch.
Brown Bag Deli,
Brown Bag Deli, and then, which is really, really good. And then Valencia's, just awesome. Just awesome. But you can get in, I would put in the promo code
there
early
is
bird.
No early bird.
Well, do code. It anyway.
See what happens. Just see what
see
happens.
What happens.
Fine. Waste your time, I guess.
No, don't waste your time. Get in there. Put your team in.
Yeah. Go check
Let's
it.
Go.
Right now.
We want a bunch of players. We need you guys to come on out. It's going to be on the
30th. Yeah, just come.
The
just 29th.
Same thing.
Nope.
No, it's not.
We're trying to get people to sign up.
Those are different dates.
Very important thing. So it's
the 29th. If you're available the 29th, get three other people with you to show up and play, and you go to ESPN975.com to sign up right now.
Yeah, let's go.
And Coors Lights will be there as well.
Coors Lights. All day. We'll have fun. Come on. And maybe I'll play with your team. See if you need a guy. I'm gonna join one of the teams. Lance, you're joining one of the teams, right?
Yeah.
Lance will be on one team. I'll be on
if
a team.
Cool.
You only got three guys.
You're not
Let's
Laker
go.
Fans.
Maybe
oh my God, my early
live...
oh, no. Early bird is still working.
Well, it is still working.
They told us. Look at that. Oh. Is it actually giving you a discount when
minus,
you sign up?
If on a fivesome, right? I did a foursome. I'm sorry for $500 minus $110.
Well, I guess they.
I put it in early bird, one word. So you better do it today before they take it off. Hurry up!
Yeah, they had told me to stop saying that, but I guess not.
All right, hurry up! Hurry up!
No, hurry up! Put it in! Go!
I'm not even joking. This thing could probably go any day. So
hey,
yeah.
Oh, maybe I need an apology from you two.
Yeah.
My lib sources are impeccable.
Oh yeah.
Hold on, until
I get my apology from Dell about Spencer Arrighetti.
I'm not giving you an apology.
You get an apology about early bird being a real thing.
No, not just that. How about Liv? Like I said yesterday, Liv was falling apart and sure enough, falling apart.
Well, do I have to apologize?
We actually believe
Did
that.
Did I disagree with you?
No, the only time we...
No, you two said, we can't trust
no,
him.
No, that's
so,
not
you
true.
Know what?
That's not true. It wasn't until the second thing that you said from Joe Ortiz or whoever. What was the second thing?
Mike Ortiz.
What was about those two coming back.
Yeah. So we had that where no one else is saying that they'll be back for the series, but Mike Ortiz said they'll both be back.
Baloney. Windhorse has said they want to extend the series as long as possible so that those two could come back.
No, so they give them a chance to. They're not coming back. Then you told us Christian Gonzalez is the second best player in the NFL.
No.
You told us to trust ML Football.
ML
you just
Football
aren't
said
believable.
That. I was
we
reading
can't trust
a list.
You.
I was reading a list.
Yeah, but ML Football.
You two just listen when I say stuff. Just listen.
I don't feel as strongly as Lance does about Luka and Austin Reaves not coming back. I could see it in game six or seven. But the other stuff, I never disagree with you with Liv because I tune out when you talk about Liv.
Oh,
you can't put that on me.
No, I was working as though that was real.
Oh, we talked about Liv for so long, and it's not even real. It's real.
No, we spent all of the... You act like that's... We were talking about how much it would take for me to turn totally Saudi.
Do you see how much they lost just in England, in the United Kingdom? Liv lost $590 million.
This is never... Look...
Just in
the question
United
was
Kingdom.
Never if Liv would be successful. It was never going to be successful. No. It was like the USFL. It was never going in the 80s. It was never going to be successful. The question is how much are they willing to lose? Because they've got all the money. Like $500 million is literally nothing. A $500 million loss for the PIF that has what is something like $600 billion. It's literally nothing.
Right. Well, it's listen. They have a point. Even they have a breaking point on how much we'll just throw away because they said now they're saying we can't do this anymore. It's first of all the sports washing ain't working because nobody's like, oh, I love you now because John Rahm is on your team.
Well, yeah.
No one cares.
Oh no, it's already. Oh no, they figured out. I think they figured out. Oh, we don't need sports washing. We just buy people individually.
Yeah.
That's all you have to do. You don't have to wash it through golf.
Right. Yeah.
Golf doesn't matter. Right. Just give them money. Just hear politicians, hear comedians, hear athletes. Yeah. Just give them money directly, and they'll come over and do stuff wherever you want, anytime they want. You don't have to like, well, what if we kind of trick people through getting golfers over? What? This was always poorly thought out.
No,
why? You guys are really, that's like saying, let's see if we can get some swimmers over here, some Olympic swimmers and divers. No one's, that's not moving the needle. Just go buy people directly. You'd be amazed. You'd be amazed how easy we are to purchase.
Soccer player in the world, it didn't matter.
You can purchase us as Americans individually.
Yeah,
you don't have to wash anything. Just throw some money.
We promised to talk about, what about the new hat when you hit a home run in the Astros dugout? What about the new hat?
Yeah, so they found something new. Last year we were pointing to the dugout was last year.
Pointing to the bullpen.
I mean the bullpen, not dugout.
No, they still point to the bullpen.
Yeah, I know. It's still a thing, but it's not a new thing.
But here's the deal. Christian Vasquez found that little Astros hat in the team store, and he brought it to the dugout, and now you can buy one too. I don't know why I'm doing a commercial for Jim Crane, but whatever. And you can get one, and everybody can wear one in the crowd. They got big – for whatever reason, the big hat thing came back. They were showing a bunch of people in the crowd with the big hat thing, which is the – if I'm sitting behind big hat guy, guess what he's going to get? He's going to get a fresh one to the big hat.
Yeah, but the cowboy hat is pretty dope in the –
Yeah, the cowboy hat's all right. Uh-huh. Yeah, you can wear that in the crowd. The big hat thing, you know, you ain't sitting in front of me with the big hat on. You ain't doing that.
Right.
No, I paid to see the game, and I want to see the game.
But no, the Astros cowboy hat after home runs in the dugout is yesterday you had, I mean, it's been something that they do always have something new every year, which I like. It's enjoyable after a home run. You wait for it. You wait to see if they're going to stare into the camera. You always waited to see if Doobie, what's his name, who was always beefing with Yordan, fake beefing with Yordan after home runs. Dubon. You had your Dubon little thing that he would do with Yordan. You used to have Hank Conger back in the day who would do the little robot dance in there. You had, it was always been something fun that the Astros would do after home runs. There's always, they've always had something. So, yeah, it's kind of fun. It's kind of fun to see a little. It's nice to win.
Yeah.
It's nice to win.
Yep. Let's get Spencer in here. Let's talk about Joe Espada. We got some Joe Espada sound that we're going to have to get to in just a second, along with Chandler Rome and some things that he said yesterday as well. What's going on, Spencer?
So, I think Dana Brown's comment about Hunter Brown throwing too hard in spring training, all that stuff, I think that was born out of frustration with Espada, because I think Brown's a good GM. You know, I think he's done a really good job so far, and I think he is sick and tired of watching Espada get our pitchers hurt. And, you know, he did it with Hader. I mean, I lost track of the number of times he would bring in Hader and non-save situations or blah, 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 and then sure enough, he got Hader hurt. Opening day, Hunter Brown threw more pitches than any other opening day starter. One start later, goes 78 pitches, then he gets hurt. And yesterday, and believe me, nobody wants Spencer to do better than Spencer does. He's the first Spencer to ever play for the Astros. But you have a guy who had an elbow injury last year, who started the season in Sugarland because he wasn't ready to go in the major league, in a major league rotation. And in his first start, Espada puts him out there for 100 pitches. It's just, it's unbelievable. And if this team moves on and hire and brings up Omar Lopez, it's going to be absolutely amazing. But Espada has mismanaged his pitchers since day one. Opening day, he pulled Framber for like 4 2/3 innings, treated it like Game 7 of the World Series, and that has been his Achilles heel. And I think the time is up. And if Aaron Geddy doesn't bounce back, what else can you do? I mean, you've got to make a move, because all Espada does is mismanage the pitchers. I know he's got injuries to deal with, but the solution to that is not more injuries. And so we'll see what happens to Arrigetti. But, I mean, I honestly couldn't believe he left him out there to pitch and pitch and pitch and pitch. And I know he did well, but if he's hurt again, it's just going to be the same thing over and over again until somebody else is the manager. All right, thanks, guys.
Yeah.
So
first of all, he did not start in Sugar Land because of the injury, because he wasn't ready. He threw a bunch of pitches in Sugar Land. Okay, he started the season there because they thought they had a better rotation in already. Spencer Arrigetti has not been great as an Astro. He had a 5.35 last year. He had a 4.53 in 24. He started in Sugar Land and he threw a lot of pitches. He had a 10 strikeout game in Sugar Land. So it's not like he wasn't throwing pitch. Like, you have to bring him along. It's not bringing him along slowly. It is that, you know what? I was a little surprised that he threw as many pitches as he did yesterday. I was. But you know what the team needed? They needed that guy to be really, really good, and they needed an outing like that. They needed to save the bullpen.
John has done a fundamental switch inside Dell. Dell's yelling from the other room. He's what? Literally incensed with you.
Why? What did I do?
You were saying the things I say, but when I say them, oh, look at Dell hating on Arrigetti. Those are the things I say about him.
Took Dell's word for word, bar for bar. You stole
from Dell. I don't disagree that he wasn't good. he was up and down. There's no question about it.
And I would just like to see more of those performances.
That showed last night that he were bringing him along slowly is not the case.
Well, should he be pitching as many pitches as he pitched?
I don't believe he should have been throwing that many pitches in the game one. Actually, I didn't think Hunter Brown should have thrown 100 pitches in game one either. Hunter Brown threw way too many pitches in game one.
Yeah.
To start the season off.
I mean, 100%, I could see saying, hey, let's keep it at 90. I mean, do 11 pitches ruin your arm, 11 extra pitches? I mean, it shouldn't. It shouldn't, no, but I don't know. Up. I mean, it's – I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out why there are four pitchers on the, you know, IL.
Right, right. Is it Joe Espada? I don't know. I don't know that it's Joe Espada. I don't know,
but somebody is going to go. I know that. I know that's the way it works. Something's not going good. The owner's not going to sell the team. He's going to get rid of somebody. Well, and Dana Brown will be gone. Dana Brown will be gone before Joe Espada.
Well, we never talked about Dana Brown's comments about Hunter Brown and Hunter Brown's response. We'll do that on the other side right here. I disagree with you, Spencer, that they were bringing him along slowly. That's not the case. That's just not the case. He was throwing a bunch of pitches in Sugarland. Actually, I'm trying to look it up. Del, see if you can find how many pitches he threw in Sugarland. Because I know he had like 10 strikeouts in one of his outings down there. He had a great game down there.
Oh, so, Spencer?
Yeah, Spencer.
Hey, he pitched great down there.
Yeah, he pitched great down there. So, way down in Sugarland, you know, way down south in the land of Sugarland.
Right.
In the land of sugar. Old times there. So, anyway, so we'll look that up, Spencer, for you. But I kind of agree. I was a little surprised that he threw that many pitches yesterday. Time to talk about. I'm a little bit surprised that any of you right now are not protesting your property taxes. It just doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. When the government is wrong, in Montgomery County, 94% of the time they had a success rate on houses. Ownwell did. $250,000 to $500,000. 94%. I mean, that's incredible. It's incredible two ways, that they would win that often, and the government is wrong that often. That's incredible. I mean, so they're just trying to gouge you. They don't care. They just hope you just don't do anything. That's what the government is hoping. I hope you don't do anything. I hope you just sit on your hands and let us charge you as much as we want to charge you, because they do. That a lot of times they just hit the max. You know what? Here's this house. Last year it was worth this. Let's put the max on it this year. Don't know. Don't care. Just put the max on it. They don't care. They just trying to grab as much money as they possibly can. And if you don't fight it, they win. But if you do fight it with Ownwell, they win. And they win $774 a year on average. Okay? In Harris County, 21 to 51% higher than their competitors. They double your money in Brazoria County as opposed to other firms that you might use. Don't use the other guys. Use Ownwell. Ownwell is going to win, and they're going to win you money. Don't wait. The deadline to protest is May 15th for most counties. Save money on your property taxes with Ownwell. Sign up in less than 3 minutes at Ownwell.com. That's Ownwell.com. Let them know I sent you when you complete your sign up at Ownwell.com.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Notice Zesty, volleyball player, really took off yesterday on social media.
Well, let's finish up the Spencer Arrighetti thing.
Yeah.
So Spencer Arrighetti threw 52 pitches in his first outing in Sugarland.
Mm-hmm.
Then 72, Dell? 70-some and then 80-some.
52, 78, 82.
It's 52, 78, 82. I was a little bit surprised he threw five innings. He had the win. He had the, you know, and he got his five innings in. I was a little bit surprised that they kept him in there and for the sixth inning. But, yeah, and he got to, how many did he end up throwing yesterday? 100?
Yes.
100. So through five innings, he was at 82 pitches.
Mm-hmm.
And that might have been a nice way to get him off the mound. He had 18 whiffs on 35 swings, 51% whiff rate. which was really good. Really good. So, yeah, I was a little surprised that they brought him up, Spencer. Yep. If I'm Joe Espada, I'm looking for a win. And he did throw, again, they ramped him up in Sugarland. They ramped him up in Sugarland to get to this. Although 82 would have been a nice place to stop, and let's get your next start out there. But that bullpen is wasted right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've never seen more bullpen usage in my life. The starters have been so bad. Arrighetti was the first, only the fourth starter this year to go six innings.
Well, the Astros,
only the fourth time.
The Astros had a four-game run where they got a grand total of six and two-thirds innings out of their starters. It was literally a four-game run where they had six and two-thirds, and one of those was Lance McCullers going four and a third. One of them was that he ate up four and a third.
Right,
Amaya was
left
a third.
Early. We had one inning, left early.
Right, one inning, 0.3, and 4.3.
Right,
is what we're talking about. 4.1, you know, one third. So yeah, I mean, that's every single one of those games. You had pitchers who had to really extend and stretch the bullpen.
Now,
so.
if Arrighetti hits is like, okay, my arm hurts, then you know what, Joe Espada should be. I got a text from somebody who said they hate Joe Espada. I don't believe that. I don't believe that.
You don't believe that they actually hate him?
That they hate Joe Espada? No. No, I do not.
I don't know. Is there someone to blame? You know, we always want someone to blame. Who is to blame here? And I know that's not always a fair thing because a lot of times it's multifaceted. Because who's to blame might be the philosophy of how you use pitchers now, where you throw as hard as you can for, you know, it could be something like that.
Well,
so that,
how about?
But there still is accountability.
Last year, okay, injuries for sure. But look at the guys that had below average seasons last year. Christian Walker was bad.
Right.
Yordan was bad. Altuve wasn't himself. I mean, it was guy after guy after guy. They were just not good. How about once in a the pitchers this year? They're supposed to live up to some kind of a standard. They've been the worst rotation and staff in baseball.
Well, hold on a minute. They changed hitting coaches, and it's changed.
Right.
Maybe it's time to change pitching coaches.
Maybe.
I mean, we just talked. You're getting to an accountability issue, obviously. How about hitters take accountability? Well, they made a change in hitting coaches, in a hitting coach, and hitting had been declining. They made a change, and right off the bat, we saw something that is very obvious in our own eyes. Jose Altuve has a different approach at the plate as an older player. We saw Craig Biggio change his big kick step. Remember that when he was a timing mechanism, his bat was slower, so he had to lessen that. There are changes you have to make. A hitting coach actually made changes, and everyone seems to be hitting. You know, I hate to say it, but maybe it's time for Miller to go. Maybe it's time for a different pitching coach to come in here, and you get, you know, because from an accountability standpoint, he's the one in charge of pitchers. Gerard Johnson is gone. He was a quarterback coach. The quarterback didn't play as well. Wanted a new voice in there, new play callers. The pitching coach has been one of the constants here in Houston. Everything else has been every other change has been made other than that.
Yeah. Listen, I maybe Altuve finally woke up to how many times he swung at that slider away. And maybe it's a new hitting coach that got him to. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but Altuve said he was going to do things differently this season, and he has. Maybe some of that has got to be on Altuve. At some point, you wake up and go, maybe I should stop swinging at a pitch I can't possibly hit.
Well, yeah, but it doesn't.
And
but
instead of giving
the
credit to, maybe Altuve woke up to it.
Yeah, I'd hate to. It does coincide with a new hitting coach.
It does, but
I mean,
I'm not sure. I'm not sure I'm giving him all
him?
The credit, or maybe because he did tell Julia and other that he was going to be different this year at the plate. Whether or not it was ingrained in him with this new hitting coach, I don't know.
I don't know. The hitting coach gets the advantages. I mean, the hitting coach is going to get the credit because he's in charge of it. I promise you, if guys were hitting poorly, who gets fired? A hitting coach.
No, that is true, but I'm not.
I mean, Citron, listen,
is he responsible for Yordan hitting again like this?
I don't know. Maybe it's swing thoughts. I mean, that's
or maybe
his
Yordan is back to where he's been his whole career.
Why have a hitting coach in?
Well, I don't know. Just to bounce stuff off of. I'm not giving him the credit for this offense. I don't know.
I mean, okay. What, is there anything he can do to get credit from you then?
No, I mean, he's doing a nice job. He's getting a paycheck. Good for you. Good on you.
You think he just sits around and these guys just decide?
No, I don't.
What they're gonna
do? I think he's doing, you know, what he does, but I'm not giving for Jordan. I'm not giving him credit for Jordan. Jordan's a great hitter.
I think you're really
Altuve's a Hall of Famer.
I think you're really diminishing the work that they do off the outside of the field. And on planes and things with looking at pads and all that, I think you're really diminishing that. I think there's a lot that goes into small, and anytime you've ever seen hitters talk about it, there are small, minute things that we don't even know about in terms of hands, in terms of, you know, approaches in the zone. Like, I think you're, as somebody, and to me, it hits kind of home because my dad was somebody who worked technique with an entire position group, and it's small differences, small changes you can make with the way that guy thinks and a way that he operates with his fundamentals and technique that can make a massive difference. And I think you're just assuming that these great hitters just, like,
no,
all of them
maybe,
do it on their own.
Maybe he did make some adjustments. Jose Altuve was a Hall of Famer before he got here.
I didn't
say
he's
not. So I'm not giving him all the credit in the world for
Jose
Altuve.
But Jose Altuve is a different type of hitter this year, and it coincides with this guy coming here.
I understand, but Jose Altuve talked about that, how he was going to change.
I don't know, maybe. But the hitting coach had been changed by then.
Okay.
We don't know, but what I wouldn't do is just say it's not the hitting coach.
Like, I didn't say it's not the hitting coach. I said I don't know. That's what I said. I don't know.
Well, you say you don't want to give him credit.
I'm giving Jose Altuve and Jordan Alvarez credit.
Well, they ultimately have to perform. That's every pitcher and every hitter ultimately have to perform. But everyone has a job to do.
And I'm not giving all the blame to last year's hitting coach. They sucked last year. You know who was on? Jordan, you sucked. Now, he did have a lot of injuries. But Jose Altuve, that was on you last year. Not the hitting coach. That was on you.
Well, how do you get out of that? Is a swing coach matter in golf?
Why does it matter so much there? Okay, hold on. I'm giving the credit to the golfer and not the caddy and not his swing coach. The guy's got to perform, and he's got to do it.
Obviously, they get the maximum amount of credit. It's okay to talk about how a swing coach or these guys wouldn't change their swing coaches. They wouldn't change caddies. Obviously, there are ancillary people that make a huge difference, especially on a swing mechanism. There's because there's so much going on in there. So obviously, swing coaches make a big difference in golf.
Well,
and a lot of it is mental too.
Scotty Scheffler is the number one player in the world. Never changed his swing coach.
You got a golfer
or his caddy.
I mean, yeah, you got a golfer. But Tiger changed it multiple times.
Yeah, because
he's one of the all-time greats.
Because he's one of the all-time greats.
And he needed his swing rebuilt.
Tiger liked to change a lot of things, a lot of people in his life, Lance.
I understand, but Tiger also early on needed a change. He needed to rebuild a swing.
Yeah. Well,
he recognized that, and he made a change.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, Butch Harmon did a great job, but a lot of it's psychological, too. A lot of these swing coaches, shooting coaches, baseball, shooting for a lot of that's a psychological confidence thing too.
Right. And speaking of psychological, Joe Espada is going to talk about Emi on the other side, and because it is
and Hunter Chandler Brown, Rome, we need to hear about the Hunter Brown thing too. Remember?
And we do have to hear about Hunter Brown as well. We got a lot to do right now. We got Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Aqueduct Plumbing Company is, you know what, Billy Brown puts a philosophy into his guys' heads, and it's not like they're robots, okay? But they do listen to the toilet coach. He's the toilet coach, okay? Well, you're talking about coaches, and he's the toilet coach. Billy Brown sends his guys out there, and he says, listen, we're going to fix that toilet, okay? And this is how we're going to do it, time and time again. And Billy Brown must be a great, great, great toilet coach.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know what? His guys come, and they fix those toilets. It's what they do.
Yeah.
Okay. Not only toilets, though, but I think Billy is, and his guys are great at toilet fixing.
They're good, but they're also good at, I know I've had showers fixed, leaky shower. You know how the shower just keeps dripping and dripping? That is a fix that they can get done for you. Sometimes it's a little more complicated. We had a more complicated fix in the past. toilets that continue to run and run, leaky faucets, those little things, that's something that they can fix. If you need some big jobs done whenever you want to do construction or remodels on your kitchens, your room addition, in your bathrooms, have them come out there. Have them come out as your contractor for your plumbing, because they do a great job, and they're someone you can really trust. Aqueduct Plumbing Company, you can get a free quote right online. Go to aqueductplumbingcompany.com, click free quote at the top, and they can get you started. Yep. Or just give them a call, 281-488-6238. That's 281-488-6238.
ESPN 97.5.
We're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, so a lot of Astros this morning. A lot of stuff to talk about. Hunter Brown and Dana Brown got into it a little. I don't know if they got into it a little bit, but Dana Brown said he thought Hunter Brown was throwing too hard in spring training, and that's the reason that he's hurt. That he needs to ramp it up. And Hunter Brown said, this is how I did it last year, and I was fine. So I don't know what you're talking about. And I don't know whether or not it's that. I don't know. And I saw Chandler Rome on his podcast saying, is this a controversy or what? I don't know. You know, the general manager, he probably should have gone to Hunter and not to the media saying stuff like that.
Yeah, you're telling a pitcher how he – yeah. That's kind of a sensitive topic. Like, yeah, this pitcher, what you're basically saying is he's kind of responsible for this. Right.
Yes.
Now. Not
right.
me.
Right.
And it's not Dana Brown's fault. But to put it on Hunter is a little.
But let's not blow this out of proportion. I mean, it's, you know what, the general manager probably misspoke. Might have gone. He'd probably gone to Hunter already and said, listen, I'm sorry. You know, I spoke out of turn. You know how to get your body ready. Blah, 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 blah. I mean, I don't know that Hunter's going to hold it against him or not going to sign, whatever, whatever. I mean, I don't know that every single little thing we got to make into a big story. Dana Brown misspoke. He misspoke. He did. Now, Chandler Rome did talk about Imai. This is, wow, Imai is really, even Outkick did a story on the Astros, $54 million pitcher who can't pitch because of what time they eat. This is becoming a national story that Imai is having a really hard time adjusting. Here is a real indicator of the tough time that Tatsuya Imai is having adjusting to the U.S.
He's speaking through an interpreter, and I think it should be noted that this is his third different interpreter since he reported to spring training on the first day of camp. So I'm not sure if that has some impact here too, that he's now had three different people, you know, relaying to him what's being said and vice versa. But I wrote the story like I did yesterday because the way that this interpreter spoke, he didn't translate a lot of the answers as Imai. He translated it as like a summation of what he said, using the pronouns he and him as opposed to I. So the interpreter said that Imai is having trouble adjusting to American life, both on the field and off. He mentioned the travel. It should be noted that the Astros just finished a 10-game, three-city road trip through Sacramento, Denver, and Seattle. Imai has said that the different mounds and different ballparks have given him problems. He mentioned that pitching in weather is not something that he had to do much in Japan. He has talked since spring training about the baseballs and the differences between the baseballs here and in NPB. I think the thing that caught a lot of people by surprise is that he mentioned that, you know, he's eating dinner at different locations and at different times than he did in Japan. The way the interpreter spoke, he said he used that as a for example. I think, you know, that's what he used that as an example to say of some stuff he's had trouble adjusting to. So, you know, I can only read between the lines here. I don't speak Japanese. I can't tell you if there was more context in the question in the answers that Imai gave as opposed to what we were given. But reading between the lines, it sounds like a guy that's just struggling to adapt.
Yeah. That's Crush City territory. Chandler Rome, thank you for that. We appreciate it. I think the story that Chandler wrote is damaging to Imai. And, you know, I think a lot of people are looking at it going, what? Dinner time? is this is a problem. I think all of those things combined are probably a real problem for Emi. That was the longest road trip of the year to start the season. The Astros are on a 10-game, 12-day road trip, which, you know, and in cold weather, which he doesn't pitch in the MPB. I think we're maybe talking about him. And, you know, some of it is kind of funny to us. What? You're worried about what time you're eating dinner? And, I mean, they're staying in the nicest hotels and blah, 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 blah. The mound isn't as hard, the baseballs and all of this stuff. It seems like he might be, I think the impression from that story is that he might be a little soft or that he's having a hard time adjusting.
Well, I think it feels like both. But, I mean, I think it's you know, culturally, it's a very, we talked about it, the Japanese culture is very structured. And he mm-hmm. comes over here, and it's not as structured. And it may sound like a little thing to all of us because we eat in our cars. We eat in the toilets. We eat in the wherever. It doesn't matter. Our rules, we don't – there are no rules just that we don't bend
not
and
ever
break.
All of us eat in toilets.
Most of us eat in toilets.
Right.
No. So yeah. So I'm no. speaking for the country here. So we don't really have hard, fast rules that we abide by. It's not structured. What time do we usually eat dinner? I don't know.
Now,
some people eat at 8:30, 9 o'clock. Some people eat at 5 o'clock. He comes from structure, and it's not as structured. But at the same time, dude, why? Okay, the three interpreter thing, that's curious to me already. No. But the second thing is, John.
Well, maybe they were stealing off him like Shohei's.
But you remember who was it? Yamamoto last year started crying in his first start? Yeah. Was that who it was?
It wasn't Yamamoto. It was a different Japanese dog.
Different Japanese pitcher who cried in his first start. I think what comes off to me is, why are you making so many excuses already? You don't understand. You shouldn't be doing this. Just pitch. But I think there's such a pressure, not just here where they feel like they want to succeed for the organization. They want to succeed for people in Japan too. Like there's a real cultural pride, and I think he feels pressure, and I think he's saying, well, this is why it's not happening. These are some of the reasons. But in this culture, we just like, don't make a bunch of excuses. Just do better next time. We don't want to hear about it right now.
So we have, this show has the huge advantage of having a Japanese, you know, an expert.
Adjacent.
And Lance being a Japanese expert.
I can speak on the show, to a
lot as opposed to all the other shows that
the other
have,
shows are not going to have that.
They're not going to have that.
Sean's probably never been to Japan. You've got whoever 790 then knows.
No,
we're going to have some of the only Japanese-centric
experts.
Yeah, I hate to say expert, but definitely cultural. Not even mavens or tastemakers, but yeah. I mean, when it comes to Japanese culture, I think I can speak.
There's nobody. Nobody knows it better.
No,
nobody.
I've got a headband. If you need, I can go get the headband and put it on. I can go get
that. That would be, I think, while we're doing this.
But what I'm
so that Lexi could put.
I'm worried that Lexi will capture and use it.
Yes,
social media director Sam is no longer with us. We pray for Sam.
She's not dead, but she's no longer.
Just no longer with the company.
She works in a school district, so she's basically dead in her soul.
Do you think you can put that bandana on and then they can superimpose the dude from Breakfast at Tiffany's?
I hope not. Mickey
Rooney.
Mickey Rooney?
Yeah.
With the big fake teeth?
Yeah, superimpose that guy.
Yeah, no, I hope not.
I think we should. Not. I think Lexi should.
Should I wear that the first day of the draft also, Dale? No, you want me to do things that are going to get me in trouble the first day of the draft coverage?
Would you do that if the... What are they called? Do they have a special name? Like, I know Japan's a country. They have, like, the Empire. I don't know, because, like, different countries may, like, Republic of the Iranian Republic. What do they call Japan?
Yeah.
Do they have a special name? Whatever the government.
Motherland, fatherland.
Yeah, whatever they call themselves.
Right. I don't think there is one, but.
Would they pay you to wear something?
Land of the Rising Sun?
Yeah, I don't know what they call themselves. But would they pay you to wear that garb? Would you do it then?
I feel like they would. Now, if I came with a kimono, that would be hot.
If I came with
a kimono on set
that would be strong.
And with the socks, with the, you know, the flip-flops where you wear socks, because there's no there is no bare feet in Japan. You wear socks.
No.
That's just, they don't need to see your funky-ass toes is what they're telling you. Wow. So they tell you.
That's the thing you
socks,
hated most about it.
They wear.
You like pretty feet.
but you know what? I'm also covering.
I bet they got
some
like pretty feet.
Guys'
though.
Feet make me want to throw up. So I'm glad that you have to wear socks, and then you wear socks with your flip-flops. It's a weird look, but they all do it.
Yeah, right. It's like the kids today.
Yeah. Yeah, socks and slides. I see guys wear. Yep. I see high schoolers and junior high kids working out in the gym with slides on and socks. I'm just like, I wish something bad would happen to you. I just wish you guys would get a clue. You're out here in slides working out. Man, just put some shoes on. What are we doing? This is the worst trend ever.
Okay, we got a break. Can I tell you how angry Art is this morning? Holy crap. He's tweeted 7 times and it's all anger.
About what?
Art.
What's he mad about this time?
Art, to get off the caffeine this morning, Art.
What's Goodness Art mad gracious. About this time?
Is he just directing
it at
you? I
don't know. He's pissed about everything.
I don't see him.
I mean, he's just a little pissy. A pissant this morning. Mm. Yeah. I mean, settle down, Art.
Well, he's mad at the pitch count.
He's mad at everything.
Oh.
All right, you two don't know anything.
Oh, no.
I mean, just how about shut up, Art? How's that?
Yeah, we're not getting me and Dell
yeah,
are getting,
getting
tagged.
Him. I'm yeah. not getting tagged.
You're getting tagged.
All right.
He's mad at you, fool.
713-780-3776 is the number. How about Houston Powder Coaters? How about Robin? How about how great she is? How about how great Houston Powder Coaters is? It's not just Robin. It's a bunch of people that are over there that have been. I mean, the combined experience that they have at powder coating over at Houston Powder Coaters, it's unbelievable how much, you know, when they started this thing years ago, they had that experience and they took it right away and they made it a great powder coating company. If you go there, now you don't have to go there because they will pick up your patio furniture, your car parts or whatever it is. They'll pick it up and deliver it absolutely free. You don't have to go see the operation, but if you want to go see the operation, you want to go see the how they bake it and how they prep it and how they bake each and every item. It's incredible, the workmanship and how good they are at it. And it's just a process that they don't skimp on and never will. They're going to make sure that whatever they're powder coating for you. And here's the deal too. If you're buying new patio furniture or new car part or whatever you're getting, bumper, whatever it is, wheel well, whatever it is that you're getting, have it powder coated first. A brand new item is best powder coated because it's going to last. I can't say forever. It's going to last nearly forever because when you powder coat it first, it makes it that much longer that it'll last for you. So you're looking for the best way to powder coat something. I don't think there's anybody else that does it, actually. HoustonPowderCoaters.com. Tell them you heard it right here. HoustonPowderCoaters.com.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.